All right, let's do this.
Welcome to episode one of Solarians, Solarian Clan's lore podcast. This episode is on the Shadowkeep narrative previews. I'm one of your hosts, Asology Gaming.
And I'm Yeager.
I just realized we didn't discuss the intro thing with Yeager. Okay.
No, let's keep this. This is it, the listeners. This is us. I'm your other host, Chell Sky, and
Yeager,
who is our guest today.
If it isn't obvious, we are complete amateurs.
So, as Ace has already said, we'll be doing this episode on Shadowkeep narrative lore previews. So first, we should probably summarize the lore preview. Actually, no, wait. Aerys lore up until now.
Yeah.
I have the notes right in front of me and I can't read them. Okay. So, actually, Yeager, have you played D1?
I played it. I didn't play when Crota came out. Like Crota's End came out. But I mean, I've done a lot of D1, so sort of.
So
maybe I should have made notes on Aerith. Anyway, alright, so short version of Aerith lore, D1, and until now. So after a lot of guardians died trying to take the moon from Crota, 6 very brave souls decided to sneak into Crota's lair and take him out themselves. And one of... I don't actually remember all of their names because I'm terrible, but...
Ariana Free,
who Aerys,
obviously, Toland.
Yep.
And 3 other who don't matter, except...
Oh, this. Okay.
Sorry, Aerys.
Amateurs.
I am amateur. Don't...
I'm checking Ishtar Collective.
Oops. We're terrible. Do we want to start this again?
No.
You
say the same. Omar, Aga, Sai Mata, and the Lone Titan, Vel Tarlone.
Yes. In my defense, I am not good with names. So, they delve into the Hellmouth on the moon, and they all died increasingly grisly death, except Aerys. And Toland kinda died, but also didn't. He went into
his
this
body died.
Yeah, he went on a date with Hot Single Wizard, who was so good with her mouth, she just yeeted him apart with her voice.
She actually gave him a song, like, knowledge.
Ooh,
and he died.
On the first date,
he died
too.
From it, yeah.
He is now the spirit we see in the, what are they called, Ascendant Challenges. Toland.
Basically, his light is still alive.
Yeah.
Well, his soul. We don't know if it's the light.
I'm pretty
he did
sure
murder
it,
his
it
ghost.
Looks like light, but
I'm pretty sure there's a lore piece that says what he is exactly.
Yes. Well.
Well. I'm not gonna search that, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, Aerys survived. Her ghost got killed. Justice for ghosts. And then she found a bone of Ahamkara down there, probably. Well, before that, she implanted some acolyte eyes into her head for some reason. I don't even know why, but
camouflage, I think. That kind of.
Yeah, maybe camouflage. She just made herself smell like Hive and, like, lived among them for a bit, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe Hive just don't see good. You know? Maybe
well,
they just smell
really
every...
good.
But, well.
Anyway.
Anyway, so Aerys clawed her way out of the Hellmouth and came to the towers saying, "Hey everybody, we're fucking dead. And also I'm kinda dark now," so people did not like her, and by people I mean Speaker and Zavala, which, you know, not surprised that Speaker didn't like her. Zavala is kind of disappointing me. But
well, classic Zavala.
Yeah, classic Zavala, but hey, So, after we killed Crota? Yeah, we killed Crota. That's the thing that we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eris just sent us down to, like, Helma, and she was, hey, kill Crota for me. And we did that. And then Oryx got mad that we killed his son and was like, I'm gonna murder all of you. And then we killed him, too. And then Eris went away, I guess. Actually, that was one of the things that I wanted to ask, because Ishtar is good, but it's not the best when it comes to, like, chronology, because everything is just spread apart in a weird way. When was the last time we see Eris, like, chronologically? Was it after we killed, Oryx?
No, we keep seeing her. It's, Destiny 2 where we didn't see her.
Like, she was a vendor, right?
You can still see her in D1 right now.
Yeah, I mean, she's a vendor?
Yeah, she's always been a vendor.
Yeah,
this just shows we are complete amateurs. I'm going to repeat this a lot because...
No. What does she sell? That's one of the things I was curious about.
She sells materials for the raid. She sells shaders. She sells... I think you can get a ship from her. Oh, no, that was the raid. And you can get, I think you can get a quest from her. You could get the, I'm just trying to think of the, not the Necro something.
Necrochasm?
Necrochasm. Yeah, that Necrochasm. You would get a really rare drop from Crota. I can't remember what it's called again, but it was an exotic, material, and you would, I think, turn it into her, and you'd get the quest.
Turn an exotic material into Eris.
Kind of like a hybrid of how like exotic weapon drops work in Last Wish, Scourge of the Past, and Crown of Sorrow, where you've got the rare drop, but then you've also got a quest thing like base Leviathan. Well,
yeah, was she involved in King's Fall? I don't actually know. Yeah, D1 raids, did they have, like...
We used her ship to invade the Dreadnought.
Yeah, but that was a campaign, right? The raid was...
Raid.
Like, D1 raids, they don't have people speaking, right?
No.
Unlike D2. Okay. It's kind of weird. So, it could be that she just left after we killed Oryx. I mean... Narratively, obviously, she had to stay as a vendor, but you know, she probably wasn't on in the tower when the Cabal attacked.
Yeah, that seems likely because this is where we can get into preview
chapter one. Yeah, it's all right. So, quick summary: chapter one is mostly a character moment. Eris is leaving and she's talking to Ikora, and I guess Zavala is there. Ikora wants her to stay because, you know, Eris did just do a lot of shit trying to help us kill Oryx, and she wants her to rest, but Eris is like, no, Oryx has two sisters who are much more awesome and deadlier than him, so we cannot rest.
For those unaware, Chell likes Savathun.
No. Listen, we'll get into that. Anyway, so listen, it's canon that Savathun and Jirath are much more badass than Oryx ever could hope to be. Jirath is just so dumb, it's awesome, but like,
leave your rage down in the comment section against Charles' comment.
Yes, exactly. And wizards are better than knights or kings. Wizards are just the best of Hive, and Savathun is best of wizards. So she's. But best of Hive and best of wizards. Anyway,
Oryx was a navigator.
He was king.
He had the king morph.
Yeah.
Whereas Zebra-Wrath took the knight morph, and Savathun obviously
is wizard.
Morph.
Yeah. Even though everybody calls her a witch, but that's just kind of weird
that's
because
gendered language in English. Yeah. I'm going to assume it's the same word in Hive.
Yeah, it's weird that most wizards are females. Like, except Nokris, every wizard is a female. Like,
what about the every wizard we've seen? Maybe it's...
Or read about, you know?
Maybe it's just kind of very normal amongst the Hive. Dare I say it, it's gender roles. You know, males, I use the term loosely because Hive biology, become knights and females become wizards.
I don't think they have genders until... What?
Oh, until they take... Huh. That is strange then.
Until they take either a knight morph or a wizard morph. I don't know how Hive gender works. I mean, both...
There are a very limited amount of people.
Yes.
Do, if any.
All three of the Osmium siblings, which is Oryx, Sabathun, and Jurath, were females before they took their morphs, but we don't know how much Hive are different from the proto-Hive, I suppose. But anyway, the narrative previews. Yes. So... Ikora wants Eris to stay. Eris does not stay. And she goes off in the search of something. We don't know why. She references some sort of like purpose that has been entrusted to her, and I'm not sure.
Well, they're looking for the tablets, aren't they?
No, that comes from the fourth chapter. Right now, Eris is just doing something. I don't know who entrusted her with what purpose.
She just entrusted herself.
Yeah, it could be, but it does feel like... Who would say
she hears whispers, so maybe maybe it's because of those whispers that she feels compelled to go to Moon and see or find something that's hiding beneath, something that might have been brewing underneath the moon.
Maybe it's something to do with the fact that she wished herself to be immortal again, basically, with the Ahamkara bone.
Did she do that?
From what I gather, she's got a non-ghost form of resurrection.
Maybe. I don't think that's accurate.
No?
If you could tell me where you got it from, like...
Good question.
Actually, like, there's a... Hang on. In Ghost Fragment, the Queen 2, Aldrin. Ace, don't start it. Aldrin mentions that Eris doesn't have a ghost.
Yeah.
And Eris responds with saying, no, my next death will be the last. So I genuinely doubt that she has some sort of Ahamkara.
She does die. If she gets killed, she's dead.
Yeah.
She is mortal, okay. No idea where I got that from. Let's just move on.
I do wanna go through the chapter summary real quick because they all tie in together, and like when we debate like what's happening here, we kind of get into the ones that come. So I'm just gonna go through the summary real quickly. Chapter 2. Eris is somewhere in a dungeon. And she has not made any progress, and then suddenly she starts hearing whispers of her dead friend who died in the Hellmouths.
Yeah. And she doesn't listen to them.
Yeah, she doesn't listen to them, and then Sabathun talks to her directly, which I'm pretty sure is the first time we actually... Well, I mean, there has been the... Never mind. Sabathun talks to her directly. And then Eris is teleported somewhere. We don't know where, it's just weird, plain. And chapter 3, Toland is there. And after a while, he manages to persuade Eris that she should listen to him. And they start talking, Toland mentions that there was something off about the
Why do you think she got teleported? They don't say that she got teleported.
The word teleport is a cloud of dust and stuff that envelops her, and she blinks and she's
in a different place.
So it's assumed that some powerful hive.
And also, she definitely got teleported out of there. So I assume. Which, speaking of which, as they start talking with Tolan, and Tolan mentions that there was something weird about how quickly their fire team got dismantled from existence by Crota. But as they start talking about this, something pulls Eris away. And she comes to in the Dreaming City, Chapter 4. She almost gets shot by a bunch of Corsairs, which would be a really bad way to go.
Are we not going to talk about how she was with Tolan the whole time and they were actually having conversations?
I don't think it was the whole time. I think she wandered for a while, but then...
Yeah, she wandered for a while, and I think Tolan was following her, but she wasn't listening to him until... Like, that was definitely her first conversation with him. Anyway...
Yeah, she initially denies that it's got a voice or anything. She's like, no, this is just hive trickery.
Yeah, but she sings to herself. So, Chapter 4, Eris does not get shot by a bunch of Corsairs, which would be a really anticlimactic way to go for someone like Eris. Instead, Petrovenge tells her that, hey, thank God you came out of there, we don't know where, instead of something more evil, and takes her to see Marasov, who I will not be angry about Marasov right now. This is impartial.
Could the moon be tied to the Mara's throne world?
I don't know, but again, I just want to get real quickly through the...
Yeah, let's theorize it a little later.
Yeah, I just want to get real quickly through the summary, and then we can just go wild. But just... Mara tells Eris about these Golden Age logs that could be a key to defeating, or at least knowing, Savathun's weakness. And Eris is like, yeah, let's go do that and find them. And then she goes and looks for them with Mara for a bit, and eventually finds them, and as she reads them, she realizes, oh shit, the key to defeating Savathun is on the moon. I gotta go back there. Well, that's not ideal. And then Chapter 2 is Eris coming back to the tower. Most likely post-Red War. I think it's post-Forsaken because reasons that I will get into in a bit. And she and Ikora talk. Ikora wants to help and get Eris some backup as she goes to the moon. Eris is like, no, that will take time. I'm just going to go send them after me. As you mobilize them. And then she heads off to the moon because it's haunted. Okay, so that's the narrative previews. Let's get on with the theorizing. Jaeger, you mentioned something with the moon?
I was just saying, maybe the moon is tied to the throne world, since we're going to be, well, we're theoretically getting a special cutscene if we go into the throne world, into the Shattered Throne at level 99.
Will we get special cutscene?
999.
Oh, right, that thing!
The 999 double.
Maybe that will tie Eris to the Dreaming City. So yeah, that actually makes sense that we're going from
there is actually
having an expansion Forsaken
solid evidence
to the moon. Because Bungie did say that they were going to try and tie everything together, all DLCs together, and I could see that as it.
There's one thing that I'm going to add. The Shattered Throne is going to be open every week, come Shadow King.
Yeah, you know.
There's got to be a reason for that. And I
think it's just... Oh, because we're breaking the curse, maybe. We're probably going
to maybe because of breaking the curse, maybe because it's wish Tyse Clarys Morn, etc., etc. But you know, there's
Yeah, there's definitely something happening to Shattered Throne. I don't really think
also
it's
the
going to be gameplay story segregation.
The timing of Chapter 5, it almost feels like it's right now, like days before the Guardians go to the moon.
Yeah, that's what I think, because
in fact, that could be
the way
2 days before.
The chronology of the chapters is something that I was thinking about, and I came to, I guess, a theory or hypothesis that the first chapter is probably right after we killed Oryx, maybe after the raid, but I feel like it's after Eris found that weird crystal inside Oryx's sword in the cinematic after the mission.
Oh yeah,
that's the
sword that we use for the shard. We use that for swords.
Oh, it's addressed?
Yeah, we used it for swords, remember? The exotic swords? All three exotic swords.
I don't remember, because I didn't play D1.
if you look on images in Google and you type, I don't know, what's it called?
So, the shards...
Raise lighter.
Hang on. Fuck.
Raise lighter. If you look at the exotic sword, you can see that we use the shard... As a source for making a sword, all three elements of swords.
Oh yeah, look at that. So I guess Eris gave us that
Eris
crystal.
She doesn't give it to us. She gives it to Shax, and Shax makes the weapon into
what
a sword.
What the fuck does she give it to Shax?
Because Shax. Like, do we need to say?
I mean,
because Shax.
I mean, Shax does have the sword. Like. On his back in Destiny 2.
Yeah, the raise lighter. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I guess the crystal. If we made weapons out of it, that pretty much means the crystal isn't like terribly important in the lore scheme of things. So the my theory is that Chapter 1 was either post raid or post the last mission of the campaign, which is when we got that crystal,
when
right?
We defeat Oryx.
Yeah, and
so
then chapter
taken Oryx. We just defeat normal Oryx.
Yeah, and then chapter 2 and 3 don't have any sort of anything we can use to thing.
Maybe.
Yeah, like, they're just chapter in between three. There. But chapter 4, Epitra is already in the Dreaming City, and she knows about Mara, so this must be post-Forsaken.
Well, no, because... Maybe.
Yeah, because I mean, Epitra thought
She goes with Eris and Mara go off to, like, the outskirts of the galaxy, don't they? So, to find the Hive Tablet. Oh no, not the Hive Tablet.
The logs. The Golden Age logs.
Did we ever get an explanation for why Mara stopped being there every 3 weeks?
She left. I mean, we didn't get an explanation
Said she left.
I thought.
Did she say?
Wasn't it a theory that what's it called?
She didn't say why she was leaving, because it's Mara, and she never tells us anything. And she did quote ExoStranger. Which... So, I want to talk about Chapter 2, and Ace just wrote it to my notes that I made a note about spooky double white spaces, and Bunch and Ace... made a note that Bungie said these weren't intentional.
It was in the final twab. Foreshadowing.
But I'm gonna call bullshit on that. There's no way. Like, it just feels too deliberate, though. Like, I don't wanna go and look at the twab right the fuck this second, because we are recording a podcast here. But the way the spaces are after every mention, like, after every mention of A, Savathun, or B, after every capitalized queen. It's just, there's, I don't know. Also, there is one, so the double spaces are in chapter 2 and in chapter 5. There are after mentions of keep and after Icarus's we know about the keep. They're there. Otherwise, they're not there in chapter 2, in chapter 1 or 2. There's one of them in chapter 3, and that is after Eris gets pulled away as she's talking to Toland. If Bungie said they're not intentional, that kind of ruins my whole theory, but if they were...
Because it was in the TWAB, but I can't find it now.
Ace, please, don't give me false information! Like... It just feels like every time they happen, it feels like there's like Savathun, you know, between the letters. Or
just quickly going back on the swords, it wasn't actually completely, you know, random that Eris gave Lord Shax the fragment, because apparently Lord Shax was against Eris going with her previous fire team down to the moon and trying to defeat Crota. He said that they should first master using Hive swords and then go down to kill Crota, because they used, in the end boss fight, we used the sword to kill him. So maybe he was researching it, even though they went to the moon, and now Eris had the shard, he could finally make the sword. So that's probably why in Taken King's DLC we were able to use swords.
Yeah, makes sense, I guess. The sword logic. So Shax has been researching sword logic, huh? That's what you're saying.
No, apparently he was he had mastered swordplay, and he was just
sword logic.
Basically,
we should probably pray that Lord Shax never masters sword logic. I really do, and I also really don't want to see what his throne world would look like.
Mm.
It'd be amazing, though.
I mean, we know he's killed Nahamkara.
He'd just be killing people with his voice.
Yeah.
Yelling really loudly.
And
Lord Shax, the death singer.
Yeah, and with him, it's just pure volume, it kills you.
Yes. Lord Shax doesn't need any of your paracausal bullshittery that death singers use. He'll just fusser die you apart. Okay. So hang on, I do have some notes here.
We were talking about the spacing and we got off topic.
Yeah, we did talk about spacing. The only thing that kind of puts the damper on my theory that the double spacing means Savathun is the fact that when she's directly interacting with Eris, there's no double spacing to be found. But this could also mean the double spacing is only there where she's being subtle. And that brings us back into narrative preview 4, which is to say, it's kind of weird that if Mara met with Eris, and this must be before she left, or maybe she didn't actually leave and she's just hiding from us because she doesn't want to get into fights anymore, because she's a coward. But assuming she left, which is the only thing that makes sense because the Nine did mention that she is in peril, and the peril probably is not my rage, as mighty as it is. That means this conversation had to have happened before she left. And Mara never mentions Eris. Eris did get mentioned more in the Forsaken and Dreaming City, but it was pretty much all tied to the Truth to Power lore books. You know, She wasn't actually mentioned that much. It just everybody got hyped whenever she did get mentioned, even a little bit. And Savathun did get mentioned, and of course everybody makes connection between the Osmium siblings and Aerys, who has sworn her revenge. And what I do want to bring attention to is that the double spaces happened after every time Aerys thinks or talks about every time she thinks or says, my queen. The queen is always capitalized and there's always a double space after it, just like there is always a double space after mention of Savathun. By the way, nobody says Savathun name ever, because Savathun is apparently Voldemort. It's always her with capitalized H.
Or I believe in one of them she's referred to as the Witch Queen.
Yes, she's either the Witch Queen or she is her. Nobody says her name. I do hope that they do actually say her name once Shadowkeep drops, because we don't actually know how it's pronounced canonically, and that pisses me off.
Well, maybe that's
what?
Maybe that is like a maybe it's something you don't say because of things like Voldemort.
Yeah, the same. Maybe she cursed her name, but yeah, it's kind of weird though.
I would not put that past Savathun.
Me neither. But the fact that it works with Mara as well as Savathun is weird to me, because there's like two options that I see right now. Either Bungie is saying, all right, three options. Either this has all been a plot, and Aerys did not actually meet with Mara, but she was made to think that she has met with Mara, and then tricked into thinking she has been searching for this Golden Age log this whole time with Mara.
Didn't they find them, though?
They did find them, but maybe she found them because Savathun wanted her to, which I do not like, because it means our greatest ally against the Hive has been compromised before we even fucking met her properly in the two, that is.
I don't think that's the case.
I don't think that's the case, but holy shit, if it's not going to keep me awake at night. You know, or not me, but my destiny. You know, the destiny part of me. The lore part of me. Anyway, the other option is that Mara is Savathun. Which I don't believe either. Like,
No,
it's just it wouldn't fit, really.
Your love for Savathun and your hate for Mara are too strong to allow that.
Yeah, they're just The third is that Bungie is trying to connections between Mara and Savathun. That is, either they're saying Savathun is actually good, unlikely, or they're saying Mara actually bad, much more likely, and much more me-likey. So, and that's all I'm gonna say about Mara, because I should probably let the two of you talk a bit. Yeah.
So Savathun is the smart one, right?
Yes.
Yes, she's the mastermind. That's like basically in her name,
slight
though.
Theory. So we know Oryx ended up having his whole taken army and all that. Exactly.
Yes.
Zebra Arath is the warlike one.
Yes. Well, they all wage war, obviously. They're hive gods. Yes. They gotta kill.
Well, yeah, subordinates need to kill, not them. They don't need to kill.
It helps if they do as well, but yeah.
Either way,
their worms must be fed.
Yes, with death. They must be fed with death.
I mean, every Savathun and Oryx, they have like 10 commanders or, you know, like...
Children.
Yeah, and they feed 1/10 of what he needs to be, you know, immortal. So basically he doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Literally, so doesn't have that's to do a king.
Anything. Same as Samathun. Samathun doesn't have to do that either.
Yeah, I do think they do kill some, but I'm.
They don't need to, but they. I mean,
yeah,
they
do need to, but they probably enjoy it at this point. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oryx was supposed to be like the navigator. He was supposed to be ever curious. Savathun was supposed to be cunning. Like that was her thing. Like, you may never abandon cunning, Sathona, or else you will not be immortal anymore, said the worm.
Yeah.
I mean, and then Shu-Arath just was like, I want to murder for the rest of my life. And the worm was like, yes, I also want you to murder for the rest of your life. We shall be good friends. Was it? She doesn't even have a throne world.
Zebra-Rath doesn't have a throne world.
Yeah, she doesn't have a throne world because she's fucking awesome. It was like, hey, all this thing about throne worlds and having a big glowing weak spot slash...
Yeah, but Savathun is known to make lies out of truths, so how can you say that? She probably does, and you've just been lied to this whole time.
I mean, that because it didn't come from... This information didn't come from Savathun, it came from... The Books of Sorrows, which were written by Oryx. Which could be a lie, but...
Could easily be a lie.
It could easily all be a lie, yes.
I mean, it could be a lie that that it was written by Oryx.
By Oryx. Yes, and yes.
Or, hell, Savathun could have tricked Oryx into thinking that Zebra-Rath doesn't have a throne world. Who knows?
Yeah.
Could be.
Could be that Savathun isn't even Hive, and they've just been tricking.
Yeah, I do think at some point we have to start believing something, and Books of Sorrows are a good starting point because they don't have any obvious, like, obviously truth to power, not true. Like the narrator, whoever wrote it, changed their mind about which lie they want to give us like 5 fucking times. So obviously you can't trust anything in truth to power. But Books of Sorrows don't really have anything that would suggest that there's a...
So it's a consistent lie.
It is a consistent lie, yes.
Or a consistent truth, who knows?
Right.
So...
I had a topic, but...
Did... About the logs.
Mm-hmm.
If you're rich enough to buy the collector's edition, you actually get to, you know, get the logs that Eris found.
Yep.
And not disliked, Cheers, has been kind enough to actually transcript all of them and gave me the link.
Huh.
Well, he put the link in, the lore thing. Essentially, it's about this researcher guy who is with Clovis Bray, and they're researching a black orb that they found on the moon.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was hid. It was a crystal that was in a thrall that had been encrusted in a thrall.
They found
it on the moon.
In a thrall, the Hive cannon fodder.
No, this is Golden Age log. I don't know. Actually, yeah, what was with the crystal in the thrall in the Stolen Intelligence?
Well, that might have been, that could have easily have been in Golden Age. We just don't know. It doesn't say at what point that was, you know, found out, but just know that this was a thing.
I mean,
the ghost could not record where it came from or what it was or anything, and it tired it to analyze it. So
yeah, I definitely think there is something to the pearl shard, but
maybe it's a ship. It's a piece of the ships that we saw in you know, like the really sinister ships, the pyramid
ship,
the
triangle ship.
It's part of that ship, and it just orbited onto the moon, And that could be what's hiding underneath Shadowkeep, one of the ships.
Hell yeah. Actually, yeah, there's one thing that I didn't mention. While Savathun was taunting Ares, she told her that the truth, like, lies beneath them.
Yeah.
Now, of course, that could be a Savathun lie.
That could be a Savathun lie.
I don't think that's a Savathun lie, though.
But Savathun, listen, the best liars lie with truth.
Yeah, but that's...
So... That's also a lie. Just because we're talking about Savathun doesn't mean we have to say, but that could be a lie after every sentence.
I'm discerning your babe, but we're gonna have to
extend some.
That'll be for Savathun Lore podcast, okay?
Yeah. Oh no, we can't do a Savathun Lore podcast because it ended up with me gushing about how awesome Savathun is for.
Exactly.
30 hours.
There we go.
Well, you know, we are gonna get more Savathun in the Shadowkeep, so.
Who knows? Maybe that'll be a future episode of Silurian.
Yeah, if this one does well and is watched by someone. Anyway, I don't think, for what it's worth. Good for reminding me about the Thrall Shard, but I don't think that's connected with what the Golden Age Expedition found on the moon, because that is described as a black sphere, and there's a lot of talk about how the black sphere started affecting them and giving them nightmares and making them paranoid and everything.
Specifically the word nightmares.
Yes, actually.
Because obviously that ties into the... is it
oh yes, actually they did mention like a dark figure on like that they saw a dark figure as they were waking up, like the one we see in the shadow.
That could have been the dead, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The nightmares that we see on the moon.
The nightmares we see of Ghoul is the only one that comes to mind right now, but of various bosses.
Yes.
Yeah, there's Ghoul,
Yeah, but there's also the ones that they're just hanging around. The figures of the guardians, all the guardians that die.
Guardian army that died by the hands of Crota and his army.
The great disaster.
The lake.
Aren't they also nightmares?
The Green Lake?
What do we call them?
Yeah, it's the Green Lake.
I mean, they're still nightmares. They're just nightmares that probably don't hate us. I hope they don't hate us.
Shit, we'll have to fight the guardians.
We'll just shoot them.
Yeah, I guess, but we're gonna fight. It would be interesting to fight PvE guardians, but probably not happening because that'd be very difficult to make.
Yeah, NPC guardian.
Yeah, well.
But if you can get on the upside, if they code NPC enemy guardians, that means they could also code NPC ally guardians.
Holy shit, that could lead
to so many things. We could have Shax.
Let me fight with Ikora by my side, Bungie, please. The Golden Age logs. Where was I? So there was a lot of paranoia and nightmares. Eventually, Bray Tech came in and they decided that the sphere is too dangerous, and they build a containment building for it, like this huge dodecahedron or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we actually saw some of those in some of the reveal trails, but I'm not sure about that. But in the meantime, the first team managed to build an antenna that acted just like the sphere in itself. Actually, yeah, what I wanted to say was one of the ideas that the scientists thrown around was that the sphere, black sphere, could have been what guided the traveler to us in the first place.
Traveler hunting down the darkness for once, rather than darkness hunting down the traveler.
Or maybe it's not the darkness. Like, I mean, yeah, it's black. But you know, who's to say that it is the darkness? Like, we don't know what it is. We don't even know if we'll get to see... We'll probably get to see it. Like, that's probably what Eris is hunting for. And... the last... note, I guess, in the logs is... she will bow to me, scratched up in, like, this weird scrawl and, like, underlined and generally taking up a whole page. And I've been thinking, like, who is she who will bow to this Golden Age scientist who is probably long dead, hopefully.
Well, who says me is the Golden Age scientist? Who says that's not somebody, I don't know, some witch queen possessing scientist?
Yeah, yeah, like could be. There is some stuff that the scientists wrote that is weird, you know.
Just the thought off the top of my head.
Yeah, it could be that he was probably being possessed.
Yeah, remember how I just said that maybe the black sphere is the darkness? Maybe that is the darkness. In the Golden Age scientist, so almost like a dark guardian, kind of. It sounds so badass. Just dark guardian.
That sounds fucking badass and also terrifying. And
she being Sab. What if it's Savathun that doesn't bow to the darkness? I don't know.
Savathun is trying to trick the worm gods. Because
she already did try to do that though, and it ended with, I think, three of the hives just getting decimated. She tried to pull them into...
Yes, but she'll do it again, because what she has to do is continue to be cunning.
Yeah.
That is what she does.
I mean, she already tested a theory, and that theory just proved that she can't do that.
Yeah, she can't do that the way she tried to do that there. But there's other ways. And she's searching for that, because otherwise she'll just die. You know, she's on a ticking clock, because eventually her worm's appetite will grow so big that she will not be able to feed it anymore.
There is a limited amount of lying you can do.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, she can kill, but also lie.
Yes, but her thing is lying.
Yeah. I do wonder how much her worm actually feeds from lying, and how does that even fucking work?
It works because Savathun, and... yeah.
Fair enough. What else is there?
Who knows, maybe there's some lie that she's told that's luring a whole ton of guardians to their death by going to the moon.
Something like that. We're playing right into her hand.
I mean, odds are that we are.
Yes.
But, I believe it's a Cade quote. The best way to spring the trap is to spring the trap. I'm sorry if I'm misquoting Cade, but there's a phrase something like
that. I think I remember that.
No, I am totally wrong. It's not Cade, it's Hawthorne.
Oh, hey, look at that. She would be a good hunter, hey.
She feels like she would be a hunter.
Mm. Even though she has a poncho instead of actual cape.
Yeah, but it's nothing like a mark or a bond, so...
Yeah.
And also, I believe that there are certain weapons that are kind of more in certain classes
style
repertoire, and snipers and hand cannons are known to be hunter weapons, if I remember correctly.
Well, yeah, while we are speaking of classes, I actually made a note that I'm not surprised that people mistake Eris for warlock a lot, but she is actually a hunter.
Yeah, you know? Like fact that she managed to escape the Hellmouth. That's like a warlock's ingenuity that was required.
Yeah, or a hunter's cunning.
Cunning, did you say?
I did say cunning. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. I did. There was a time when we and Ace tried to figure out like which Osmium sibling is which guardian class, and I think we came to conclusions that they don't really track into.
I don't think that was me that you were trying to work that out with. I don't remember that.
Maybe Aldo. I was trying to work it out with someone, and like the I ended up with thinking like they don't really fit.
Yeah.
You do one. Like, you know, you'd think Sevathun would be
though.
A warlock.
They fit their morphs.
Yeah, they fit their morphs, because I'm pretty sure the morphs were based off them and not the other way around. But it is kind of weird that, you know, both wizards and knights exist in wide variety, not just Sevathun and Jurath, but there is only one King Morph, and that is Oryx. As far as I know, that is.
Normally, in a type of hierarchical system, there's one king. Like, look at any monarchy. Okay, most of the time. In some fictional monarchies, there's multiple kings working in parallel, things like that. But usually there's one king.
Yeah.
One, you know, totally. And often there is, like, a lead knight and a lead wizard type thing. But there are also many other knights and wizards, but one king.
It does make it seem
one
like...
rule them all.
Yeah. It does make it seem like Oryx is like the best Osmium sibling, or the most powerful Osmium sibling. I can assure you guys, he's the least powerful.
He's the most powerful.
No, he's the least. Listen. The only way he survived.
He died by the hands of guardians. So was Sevathun. So, I mean, yeah.
Listen, the only reason Oryx is still alive is because his sisters just worked very hard to keep him alive.
He isn't alive. He's dead. But,
that makes it sound like he's a titan.
He is not alive. The only reason why he survived as long as he did is because of his sisters were there to bail him out of any trouble. At the moment they split into three, he pissed off he pissed off us and we murdered him.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It wasn't the moment they split. I mean,
it wasn't the moment they split.
6 centuries, but yeah, sure.
I mean, what is 6 centuries between hives?
I mean, it's pretty big.
I'm pretty sure it's
time is relative, depending on your life.
It's probably more than that.
The Osmium siblings are old as fuck. You know?
Like, it's nothing new. It's pretty fucking old.
I mean, like, the last thing that Oryx wrote into his Books of Sorrows was how they split, and since then nothing interesting has happened to him. Which
we
don't know
ourselves.
Yeah, that we didn't do ourselves.
We know practically nothing about any of them leading up to them coming into our solar system.
No, we don't know what they were doing. We know
that's probably a design choice on Bungie's part. This is a little bit meta. We don't need to know. Like,
yes, we do.
Don't need a freaking what's it called? Like a soap opera of their lives before coming to Sol.
I need soap opera.
I said that we do need that, but you see my point.
Please, Bungie. I mean, we did kind of get the soap opera part somewhat with the Books of Sorrows, which are fucking hilarious, and you should read them.
But you see my point. We don't.
Yeah, we don't need to know their every step. Ah.
What?
Like, we don't know if it took, like, if a year after the Osmium siblings split, Crota died, and Oryx was like, oh shit, or if it was 10 centuries. You know, they don't age, and after Oryx learned how to take nothing too interesting happened to them, like no new developments in the worm thing. So, So again, we just don't know.
Well, I'm sure more of these things we'll find out with lore that comes in Shadowkeep.
Hell yeah. I do hope for Books of Sorrows Part 2. Yeah.
Also, there should be a second Chronicler badge at this point.
Definitely.
Because there's going to be a ton coming in Shadowkeep. Badge? Not badge. Seal. That's the word.
Seal, yes.
I'm not sure what they'd call it. Like, Enhanced Chronicler? Like, hands-on? Train of thought. There was one. It has crashed.
Someone's Bookkeeper. I mean, they could just go synonyms with...
If it's specifically Books of Sorrow, Sorrow Keeper. Ooh.
Yeah. I think it was dead in mind that there isn't actually a lore badge for...
For what?
For Shadowkeep.
There isn't another seal for lore.
Yeah, there isn't another seal for...
Oh, for lore, yeah, sure.
I mean, it actually... Well, actually, no, because the Shadowkeep stuff is permanent. It's just the Season of Undying stuff that moves. Like... Vex
would be kind of interesting if your Chronicler badge would be a thing that you have to upkeep, you know? Like, you have to collect the new lore in order to keep it. That would be annoying, but...
Yeah, and also, like, you'd probably not bother. You'd just be like, oh, it keeps turning off, I can't be bothered.
I'd be bothered.
Yes, you would, obviously.
Yeah, but like...
And to be honest, I would be. But in general, the player base would be like, oh, I can't be bothered keeping this up.
Yeah.
It would be interesting if there were, like, a special badges that you have to upkeep, you know? Like, not all of them, but there'd be, like, a category.
The Nightfall emblems are like that. If you want the glow, you have to 100k it within a certain period of time. Same every goes season. For... I think it's...
What was every week?
Because not every Nightfall is available every week. I think it's the Prestige Leviathan emblem, or like there's an emblem that glows.
Yeah, the hard mode. The hard mode of the original Leviathan.
Yeah, the Prestige.
Give you a golden aura.
Yeah, but it also has the crown bit.
Hmm. Yeah, crown it bit. Does have, like,
it's
glow.
It's a glowy crown bit that kind of arcs behind your head.
Yeah.
It does.
Right.
Gives you a gold...
Yeah, the gold aura.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Anyway.
It is kind of interesting, as I was reading up on Eris, when she was making the Tetra of Malice in the exotic card for it, the Touch of Malice, she actually starts to feel a little sympathetic to the Hive. Which I do feel is interesting, like how even she could understand that they're in a bit of a fucked up situation. And
their host things that... Yeah.
Like, I...
Almost a little bit of pity for them. But then they're trying to kill us, so...
Yeah, they are trying to kill us. We can't afford... I mean, it's the same, like, with the Fallen. We pitied them, and now, you know, we're allied with one, so... Who's to say?
We were talking about the nightmares earlier. This is just something that's popped into mind, because obviously we've been talking about nightmares and a little bit of Aldrin Sov today.
Yeah.
Either we did or Petra did, killed Aldrin Sov the first time.
Mm.
So, like, we would see nightmares of him because we killed him, same as we did Ghoul.
He's our enemy.
Yeah.
He's rezzed up.
But he's rezzed, so would we? Does it rely on them actually being dead? Or is it just...
Yeah.
I do not think it actually needs their bodies. You know, like...
Not so much their bodies, probably, but...
It does need dead bodies, otherwise they'd have Toland as a nightmare.
Why would they have Toland as a nightmare? We never fought Toland.
Yeah, we never fought Toland. Again, we never fought the Thousand Guardians.
Yeah, but we had contact.
Savathun did use Toland's voice to mock Eris, so obviously we can have nightmares of people who aren't quite dead.
But we already had a connection with Toland in Destiny 1.
Here's a point. Toland is dead in this plane. He is not dead in the Ascendant plane, though. Which is...
Yeah, but he's not only in the Ascendant plane.
Does he have a living form in this plane?
Well, no, I'm just saying he doesn't have a living form, but he's everywhere. Like we only ever see him
in Ascendant plane, though.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure we had a connection with him in the Vault Glass.
That is Vexy thing, though. Like, so, who's to say Vex architecture can't connect to Ascendant realms? Speaking of Ascendant realms, I think it's really interesting that Toland was in wherever Ares was teleported, which...
I mean, he's
it was described that there's a black-green sun in the sky.
Yeah, well, that's Crotus.
That's Crotus Throne World?
Crotus Throne World, yeah.
Holy shit, but he's dead, so...
Maybe Crota wasn't dead.
Yeah, but even if he's dead, that doesn't mean that doesn't mean that it would disappear. His throne world would disappear.
Throne worlds do crumble. I believe it's the Mindbender. He has a throne world,
but
doesn't he?
The Mindbender.
When you kill him,
throne world crumbles. That's different because the Mindbender didn't have any wizards. Crota did. Crota had loads of wizards, and the wizards were the ones that were creating that throne world. It wasn't actually Crota that was creating the throne world.
Because knights can't do anything for themselves. Anyway. Listen, wizards are the best of Hive. Change
wizards
my mind.
Wizards can't wield swords, therefore they are inferior.
But they do everything else!
And also wizards.
You don't need to wield swords if you can shoot people with your mind.
Some of the best wizards were made by knights.
Hmm?
Like, Oryx, for example, made his sister's Ear Anuk?
Ear Anuk, yeah. Those two. They're not his sisters, they're his daughters.
Well, he split them with his sword. They were one larvae.
No, but he didn't create them. He was like, I'm going to cut this larva in half. And then that larva
created them. He created twins.
Yeah. I mean, he created twins. Like, he made them in
his sword.
You know,
distinguish. He's not a knight. He's a king more.
Yeah.
Yes.
If Ubar and Wrath had done that, that could be an argument for Nightmare.
Also, like, my parents didn't make me, you know. He didn't directly create Ear Anuk or whatever from the ground up. He just he got some very lucky or unlucky, depending on how you look at it, wizard. And the dude that I don't really want to talk about, but and then they were born, and he was like, I'm gonna cut this one larva in half, and that larva didn't die, and then eventually they grew up and became wizards because they were smart and powerful.
Also, what do you mean by Cade and Eris not getting along?
He did steal her ship. A lot of a lot of mentions of the two of them was just them bickering / actually like arguing.
If you look at Eris right now, though, she is so much out of like she's on drugs right now. Like She's super hyper. She's like super Eris, more Eris than she has ever been. It's because Cade isn't around.
Maybe.
Reminds me, I think it's the end of the Brakasan strike, the arms dealer. There's a line where Hawthorne says something about the Cabal now are back to rocks because we've killed their advanced weapons guy. And Kate says, don't joke about that. Rock. And then something about rocks hurting. And then I miss Eris. This implies that Eris threw rocks at Cade.
Like, I think he threw her rock at Cade, which is even more hilarious because that rock has an Ahamkara bone in it. Can you imagine hitting someone over the head with an Ahamkara bone? That's like the ultimate power move.
Odds on Shaxx of having done that with the giant skull that's behind him. Hi.
God, can you imagine? I would get smacked by...
Also, Eris had another friend.
Asher. Yes. Asher Mir, the guy who was not...
The warlock. The
Iovender who has been served very badly by the speaking canon. Most people just know him as the annoying guy, but he has actually really interesting and sort of heartbreaking backstory of, you know, he went into the Pyramidian and had the rest of his fire team die, two hunters, and then he was captured by the Vex, and they did something to his arm and to his ghost too.
Yep.
Yeah. That's honestly like the fact that Vex can do something to ghosts, like corrupt them. That's fucking big. And I feel like it wasn't addressed enough.
I mean, they can freaking mechanoform Nessus. Like, they can do a lot.
Yeah, but Nessus isn't, you know, terraforming or mechanoforming one planet. That's true. You know, it's not even a planet, it's a centaur, although they did do it to Mercury too. But the ghosts are made of light. Well, of light. They're not supposed to be like Vex aren't supposed to be able to simulate light. So how can they? So far, ghosts have proven mortal, but relatively uncorruptible. You know, like
so, they can't simulate light. That is a known thing. Maybe they didn't simulate his ghost. They put a harness on it, as it were.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Like,
yes.
Like a Dyson sphere, almost.
Yes. Makes sense.
We may not be able to create fusion reactors in the real world. And again, we can't create Dyson spheres just because of scale, really. But, you know, like,
yeah,
they basically put a Dyson sphere around it.
I get what you mean. Ghost. I mean, the thing is, like, we have never seen a corrupted ghost until Asher, and maybe Shadowkeep, because there was a corrupted ghost voice in the trailer, which I really want to know what the fuck it's about. Holy shit, 1st of September cannot come soon enough.
First of October, not 1st of September.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't even know the month names anymore. That's how hype I am.
Yep.
Anyway.
Let's actually... So, that ghost thing. Some people say it's actually a Vex trying to speak to us.
It isn't.
So, some people
say... could be. It could be Ashramir's ghost.
Oh,
it feels like our... It sounds very much like our ghost, though. Like, that's Nolan's voice.
Actually... Come to think of it, if it sounds like our ghost, maybe it's something taking the voice. Just like Savathun was able to use the Eris's
and Riven.
Who knows it? Yeah.
Oh,
Riven.
That's right.
Like, Savathun was a more relevant example.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So who knows? Maybe that is Savathun speaking to us through our ghost in a way.
Or using
the voice of our ghost to try and knock us off balance a little.
Yeah. Like I mean, speaking of Riven, she and Savathun actually do have connection. Because Oryx took Riven, but then after he died, Savathun came and, I guess, retake her? Not really sure what is happening there. Did not read up on that, because this has gotten out of what I've
out of one. The scope that we intended.
Yeah, a bit, but I'm down for it.
I mean, I've only got 13 more minutes, so...
Sorry yes. Yeah, alright. I mean, we did have an hour, and like, I feel
we
that's...
We can always have a part two.
Yeah, we can always have a part two, but I think we covered...
Because there's some listeners that might or might not want too long, so maybe
yes.
We should ask them.
Yes, we...
Next podcast.
I feel like we're
getting into speculation territory here.
We covered a lot.
Particularly
we covered
to
the previews. We covered the previews pretty extensively, like everything that happened there, and like we did do a lot of speculation about what could have happened there. For what it's worth, the previews, as hype as they were, didn't really give us much concrete information. They didn't give us much to, I guess, wonder about, especially not for an hour. So that's probably why we wandered off so much.
All because we're talking about lore, and
yes.
even without the year 3 promised interlinking everything, everything is already very interlinked.
Very interlinked. I keep saying Bungie has some really good lore writers on board. It's just too bad that they don't really shove themselves off in the cutscenes as much. But here's hoping for Shadowkeep, you know.
Yeah. And we'll see what ideas we have come true, which ones turn out to be yeah. absolute nonsense and make absolutely no sense when Shadowkeep comes out.
Yeah. Maybe we'll finally get mention of the throne world made for light. Maybe. Anyway.
And who knows? Maybe Savathun is Mara.
Maybe Savathun is Mara. That's going to be amazing. Because it turns out Mara was evil.
Question is, will you hate her or love her then, Chao?
So, let me tell you about Homestuck. After finish this off.
Yeah, let's do that. Afterwards.
So yeah, okay, so that's it for me. A lot of lore that I'm hyped for. And if there's interesting to this, I and I guess Ace would yep. definitely be. And Jaeger, what do
yeah.
you say?
Oh yeah, for
you
sure.
Be down too.
I'll be down.
Oh yeah.
And of course we are highly likely to have other guests in future episodes. And of
yes.
course other topics. We're likely to have one focused on Savathun because
very much,
how much
yes.
Chell loves Savathun, and we're likely to have one focused on Mara because of how much
wait, no,
Chell
listen,
hates
I,
Mara.
Okay, wait, it can alienate our entire audience it. By just yeah. An hour of me ragging on Mara. That's just
unless we get right. someone in here who knows enough to debate you, but who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? People love them debates. Okay.
So,
how the fuck do people end podcasts? Thank you for listening.
Yes.
For more podcasts.
And hopefully,
follow.
We hear you in another. Well, we hear you. You hear
you
us.
You hear us.
In a future episode.
Bye.
Bye.